love you. You are everything to me. I exalt your holy name. Say, I exalt your holy name. Just want to praise you, Lord. Lift my voice to say, I love you, for you are everything to me. So high, exalt your name. Say high, exalt your holy name.
We have, we place in you right now,
and we will say,
and we will say,
hey,
that you are good,
hallelujah,
and all the miracles you've done have brought us joy,
and we are changed,
and all the hopes we have, we place in you right now,
right now. Now, Father, we declare that we love so much, and we declare our everlasting
love for you.
Father, we declare, Father, we declare how much,
how we love.
Father, I declare, Father, I declare, oh, that I love so much, and I declare my everlasting love for you forever and ever and ever. Father, I declare how much I love Father, we love you so much. We love you so much. Even the testimonies are enough to stir up again our love for you. They are reminders of your love for us. And we love you because you first, you first loved us. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so very much for that unconditional, inexplainable love. Hallelujah. Wow, thank you. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for your word. Thank you because it goes forth with simplicity, with accuracy, with power. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. So good to see you all. It's nice to be in church. Amen. You know, last week I was in Ibadan, Thursday. Was that last week? That was last week. Okay, I'm almost losing track of time, the way things are moving. You know, so I was in Ibadan last week, Thursday. And I was in the office, you know, almost throughout the day. And then I thought in the evening, let me quickly go and get something, you know, and be back before the service. And then I came back and I saw they were praying. And I was like, what's going on here? And it was 5:15 or 5:20. I said, what in the world is going on? But unknown to me, I was in another town. Service starts at 5 p.m. and closes at 6:30. So I thought, so I had to rush. I was in slippers. I rushed with my shoe in my hand to go and wear my shoe, you know. And I said, oh, God. You know, this is what happens. You know, in certain places, some missionaries went to Germany way back, and they believed that it was okay to drink. You know, you could drink alcohol, blah, blah, as a Christian. Of course, the missionary from America didn't believe that. But then they started engaging him in conversation, and they said, we hear that some Christians dare drink coffee in America. So to them, drinking coffee was a sin. You know, so things that happened geographically. So I had to tell them that, I'm sorry, I'm late, but in Ibadan last week, I said, but I'm from Lagos. You know, where service starts, if it starts early, midweek service, it starts at 6, like us. Some churches start at 6:30, some at 7 p.m., so that people can meander through traffic and make it to church. You know, and how many people would like us to start at 6:30 or 7 p.m.? But then you have to be in church early. Okay, so if you say no, then you have to be here by 5 minutes to 6 to show that that 6 is fine. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you in 1 Corinthians 14? Okay, let's go into it. 1 Corinthians 14, I read verse 13. It says, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, I will also sing with the understanding. And I read verse 18. It says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. I want to talk about the habit of speaking in tongues. The invaluable habit of speaking in tongues. I realize that I probably speak on speaking in tongues maybe about, you know, as a teaching itself, maybe about once a year. So every year, maybe. But I think I don't speak about it enough. Are you with me? I don't think I speak about it enough. And I don't think that many believers engage in it enough. I think that we're also in that time, maybe two things. We're in that time now when people also, in a bid to fit in, you know, in a bid to be acceptable, in a bid to be nice Christians, you know what I mean by nice Christians, everybody likes you, you're not weird, you understand? They don't think you're weird, they don't think you believe in miracles, you understand what I'm saying? I mean, when there's science, you get my point. You know, can you believe all of those wild stuff that they talk about, that somebody got healed of stage 4 cancer? What kind of nonsense is that? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so in order to fit in, there are many people who are beginning to step back, you know, from certain things that are of God. Can I have an amen? And not just of God, but they are totally important and a core part of Christianity. I mean, Paul was writing, I think, to the Corinthians, And he said, you know, I think 1 Corinthians 4, if I'm right, verse 20. And he was telling them, he said, you know, there have been all kinds of things and doctrines and issues going on among you and people saying all kinds of things. He said, but when I come, I want to see not just the speech of those people, but the power. He said, for the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. He was saying, hey, there is no kingdom of God apart from the supernatural. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's no walk with God apart from the supernatural. There's no Christianity apart from the supernatural. There must be an element of the supernatural. And tongues is a doorway to the supernatural. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we'll still say a number of things. So there are people drawing back. I sat with a minister some time ago, and he was telling me, you know, contemporary world, believed everything, you know, as you and I believe. But then I could sense that drawing back of we want to impact our world. We want to invade the corporate world. We want to, you get what I'm talking about. So that's what we are trying to do. And in trying to do that, you know, how does all this miracle and blah, blah help us? You know, we want to show love to people around us. We want to be able to create business and impact people's lives and all of that. And I thought, no, you are asking the wrong question. It's not that this does not help you. It's that how do we actually apply this one into our everyday life? How does it apply? What does it do for me? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the question is not, is it relevant? Now putting it correctly, the question is not whether these things are relevant, these spiritual things. You understand what I'm talking about? These spiritual, spiritual things. So when you see, as right now, you see like, say, these spiritual things, how are they relevant to, you know, real life? I mean, real life is that he comes in, they know him to be a nice man. Office. They know him to be a man they go to for help and all that. That's the no. They are not separate. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They are not separate. So the question really is, how do I take this spirit conquer one and use it to and infuse it into what I do? Are you following what I'm saying? So that's one part of the introduction. Second part of the introduction is that as a new year starts, I don't know about you, but for me, I start thinking about habits. Okay? I think about habits. Habits are the secret to your life. Okay? Habits are the secret to your life. Habits are the determinants of what happens to you. If I want to know how your life will turn out, I need to figure out what your habits are. Okay? Oh, me, I love sleep. I know where things are going. Are you hear what I'm saying? Because Proverbs 6 tells me, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms to sleep. What happens? It says, then your needs will come in like armed robber. You know what that means? You have no defense. It will hold a gun to you. It will totally hold you and surround you, and you have no defense. So how would I know that you will suffer a lot of lack and want and blah, 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 and you just will find no way out? How do I know? Because you love sleep too much by your own confession and practice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you speak too carelessly, I know where you are going. Because the person who does not control his tongue does not control his life. Are you hearing me? And you are going to say a lot of things that you will regret, a lot of things you have to apologize for, a lot of things that you wish you could go back and correct. And not only that, you are going to say a lot of things that are going to affect your life. And it will be by your own creation because you said it. Have you ever met anybody before who says, you know, all these things they teach, it doesn't work for me. I don't know why it doesn't work for me. You understand? Those things they teach confession, it doesn't work for me. The tithe and offering, it doesn't work for me. Everything they teach, it just never works for me. I try it, it never works for me. Have you ever met anybody like that before? What's your answer to them? It just worked. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is working very well because you have just told me it doesn't work for you. It is working.
Because he says what? You will have what you say. So as you are saying it, it is not working. And so it's not working. So it is working.
Are you still there? Or you? Or I lost you there? Eh?
That's the way. So I ask myself, what are the habits? Somebody said, watch your thoughts. They become your actions. Watch your actions. They become your habits. Watch your habits. They become your destiny. Okay? So it's whatever you do all of the time that's going to determine where your life goes, the direction of your life. So I ask myself, what are the habits that I have that I shouldn't have? I ask myself, not just that, because that's often where many of us stop, isn't it? I have this habit. I have this kineko. I need to stop it. No, it's not just that. You need to stop it indeed, as you know. Great. But you also need to create certain habits. Okay? So you have to ask yourself, what habits do I need to develop this year? Okay? At some point, I told myself, I need to develop the habit of waking up early to pray. I needed to develop it. I didn't have it. I was not born with it. Okay? I wasn't born with the ability to wake up at 4 a.m. I slept like every other baby and then young adult and what have you. I slept like everybody else. At least I wasn't told I slept differently. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then I struggled. And at some point, I told myself I needed to be able to pray. I need to develop that habit. Therefore, I must also develop a habit of being able to get up. Are you following me? You say, what is all this is saying? And how does it link? We're talking about what? The invaluable habit of speaking in tongues. So what am I saying? Paul was saying in our text that we just read tonight, he first said in verse 14, he said, what's the conclusion? So 1 Corinthians 14 is a description of spiritual gifts and manifestation. Okay, so actually it began from 1 Corinthians 12. The whole of 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 14, all of those three chapters are devoted to spiritual gifts and spiritual manifestations. And Paul, in chapter 14, began to describe in detail or speak in further details, particularly about speaking in tongues and the gift of tongues, but more about speaking in other tongues. And then he gets to verse 15 and he says, what's the conclusion? That is, he says, I've been teaching. What's the conclusion then? He said, the conclusion is this. I'm going to pray in the spirit and then I'll pray with my understanding also. He said, I will sing in the spirit and I'll sing with my understanding also. And I, for a long time, I didn't think anything of that until somebody pointed out that also means addition. Follow me. Are you there? This is booster service, teaching service. Follow me. Also means addition. If I say, oh, I'm going to the supermarket, and then I'll go to the market. Okay, I'll go to the supermarket, I'll go to the market, I will stop and see my friend, but I will also buy biscuits at wherever. What does it mean to you when you hear that sound? It sounds a bit like supermarket, market, and whatever are the key things I'm trying to do. Also is something that I will probably also do. Are you following what I'm saying? Also sounds like this is the addition. What will I do? I will speak or pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray with my understanding also. First, he puts pray with the Spirit first. He puts with the understanding also. You know, with the understanding after. And he says also, as if, I will do this, but I, not that I've forgotten that one, I will do that one also. Is that a little clearer? So what I'm thinking is, what does Paul know? Are you getting what I'm saying? What does he know? What does he know that he seems to prioritize speaking in tongues? Not only so, he seems to have prioritized it in so much that it means that this is what he engages in so very much. And that's why I then went further down and I read verse 18. And he said, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than ye all. I always say, for anybody to say that, your confidence level is too high. Okay? Because he wasn't talking to one person. He was writing a letter to a church. Okay? So it's as good as coming to stand here. And I say, I thank God I pray in tongues more than ye all. You first say, are you me? It's me, you. You understand what I'm saying? Because meaning, how do you know what I pray? I mean, it's you, me. How can you tell me that I pray in tongues more than you or when you are not in my house? And you don't go anywhere with me. How do you know that? How dare you speak that way? It means that you probably are praying in tongues for 24 hours. Because then you know nobody can beat that. Are we? It means you do it all of the time. You engage in it all of the time. It's become a habit. It's just something you do all of the time. And believe it or not, there are people who have reached that level of doing it all of the time. I mean, you talk of a John G. Lake. John G. Lake, great apostle to South Africa, went back to Spokane, Washington, USA, braced healing rooms, all kinds of miracles. They declared the place to be the healthiest city in America. And they asked him, what's your secret? He said, tongues has been the making of my life and ministry. Are you there? You know, when we were in the university, we engaged in tongues, okay? And we were developing. And we had breaks, you know, to strike and this and that. And then we look for somebody, the person we find all day. You know, so when we finally found him in the evening, where are you? What happened? So I went to the chapel to pray. The next day, so many people disappeared. They went all kinds of places to pray. And we kept stretching and stretching and stretching. We knew people like Brad Oaks. We knew that they prayed. Okay? But one day also, I was talking to Brad Oaks, and he was telling me, as if someone we know, you know, in another city. And he said, you know, there are people who are not human. He said he was in this guy's house, and the guy was praying in tongues when he was sleeping. He said, if anybody had told him, he would say it's not possible, that is a lie. He said, but he woke up, and I was sleeping beside him. He said, and he thought, okay, it's not sleeping. He said the guy was asleep but praying in other tongues. I'm talking about Paul's brag that I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than you all. Now, that's just to stimulate us, okay, to say that is possible. But the big question is, what does Paul know? Why does Paul do that? Why would anybody want to do that? Why should I want to pray in tongues all of the time? At least for one, let me start from that one. For one, I would love to pray more and more and more. I don't know about you. But my desire is to pray more and more and more. Be able to pray long. How many people would love to be able to pray long? You know, somebody was... in those days also, when we'll pray 2 hours, 3 hours, 6 hours. And somebody was with his uncle, in his uncle's house, and was in the morning, you know, you say young man, in the morning, an undergraduate, he's in the room, shabaka, shabaka, rebaka, and he was just praying, and just praying, and just praying, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. When he finished, his uncle said, what were you doing? He said, I was praying. He said, for 3 hours. You think it's only you God has time for? How can you be praying for 3 hours? What will you even be telling God? It's only you that God should listen to for 3 hours. What else will you be saying? Okay? And that's the question sometimes also, is that what will I even be saying? Okay, what do I want to tell him? Shoe? I want shoe. I want shoe. I want shoe. I mean, so there must be, for anybody to pray, you know, prayer is not, there are all kinds of prayers. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that, verse 18, praying always with all kinds of prayers. So there are all kinds of prayer, and there is an element in prayer of just fellowshipping with God. Are you hearing me? Just fellowshipping with God. How many people have ever sat with anybody before? Friend, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife. And then you talked, and you talked, and you talked, and you talked. And you say, ah! It's already 3 o'clock. Has it ever happened to you before? You say, ah! It's already 3 o'clock. Then you go and say, what were we even saying? That's what? Fellowship. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Fellowship. You didn't really, it wasn't like you came with an agenda. We need to discuss these 6 things, you know, and analyze them and come to a conclusion. No, you were just talking and just fellowshipping. So there's an element of that that enables. And what happens when you do that? You feel like, I know this person. You feel like this person is my friend. You feel like this person is close to me. That's what also happens with the fellowship. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you spend time with God, the more you pray, it's fellowshipping. You get to know him more. Are you still with me? And to be able to do that and be able to pray long, since you say you desire to pray long, you can't do it just praying in your own language. You will end up doing what he said in Matthew chapter 6, which is that you will be repeating yourself. And you will hope that you'll be heard for your repetition. Are you there? So, number one reason, what Paul knew, is that if you're going to pray for long, okay, then you'll have to pray in other tongues. There are many believers who can. They're baptized in the Holy Ghost. They speak in other tongues, but it's put in their back pocket. They pray in other tongues when they're excited, when the anointing comes upon them. And that's about all. It's something for releasing ecstasy and what? Excitement. But they leave it alone after that. So, and did you know, while quality time is important to spend with God, God also enjoys quantity time. And actually, he actually admonishes us to spend a lot of time praying. Ephesians chapter 6, which I first referred to. Ephesians 6, are you with me? Ephesians 6 verse 18 says what? Praying always. So if you're going to pray long, even in obedience to scriptures, you'll have to pray in other tongues. Praying always. Can I hear you say praying always? How do I pray always? Actually, before we even refer to that, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So I'm telling you why, okay? Why you need that habit, why you should develop that habit of praying in other tongues. And I'm saying that you need to do so because you want to pray long. You want to develop a prayer stamina, spending time in God's presence, tarrying. We used to call it tarrying. 1 Thessalonians, are you there? Look at verse 17. 1 Thessalonians verse 17. Who is there? It says what? Pray without ceasing. That is, pray without stopping. Okay? The word ceasing means what? Stopping. Abby? Thank you. The word ceasing means stopping. So, pray without stopping. How in the world do you pray without stopping? Eh? How in the world would you do that? But that's an injunction in the Bible. So, I don't know about you, but I like to obey everything I see in the Bible. Abby, thank you. I like to obey everything I see in the Bible. If you say pray without stopping, I would love to do that too. Hallelujah. Now, that also means that, it also means, just on the side, that prayer cannot be confined. Isn't it? Great to have the confinement space prayer, that is your closet, as described in Matthew chapter 6. When you want to pray, go into your closet, lock the door and pray. Fantastic to have that because you have focus. You have no distractions. But if I'm going to pray without ceasing, I must have some way to pray that it makes it possible to pray without stopping. It means that it's possible to pray while I'm cooking. Are you with me? It's possible to pray while driving. I love that so much. You know, I love it so much. And when I would drive long trips, you know, when I thought long trips, I thought here to the island is long trip. Because traffic makes it long enough. So I love it that I'm in the car alone very often because I am just praying. I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying. I may be listening to a message, but I'm praying. I'm praying, and sometimes he's bringing things to my mind that I begin to declare, because Paul said something. He said, when you pray that you also interpret. Meaning that in that place of praying in the Spirit, there will be things that are the interpretation of the things you are praying about that will be coming and popping up in your mind, and some of those things, I will pray them also with my understanding. As he pops them in, I pray in the Spirit about them, and I pray with my understanding also. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6. You know, as I said that, I will just tell you a story straight off. I usually tell just the end part, but I'll tell you the beginning part. Pastor Goodman, you know, Goodman, D.R. Goodman, and his wife. Late. And Brother Egan speaks a lot about them. And he says he's hardly seen anybody who functions in, you know, tongues and interpretation and all that like those two, ever. And that they pastored a lot prophetically. So he said there was a night they were sleeping, and the woman kept, you know, tossing and turning and waking up. And she wake her husband and said, look, we need to pray. And they will pray, you know, and go back to sleep. She can't sleep. Wake him up. We need to pray. You know, and then again, wake him up a third time. We need to pray. And she thought, it looks like something is about to happen to somebody around us. You know, and they would oftentimes pray. Said they prayed for different people in church. This one's traveled. Maybe it's them, you know, and then they'll pray. But they didn't know what it was. And they were praying in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit for different people. Want to pray for this person. Want to pray for this one. Said, but at the end, she thought, I still don't think that we got it. He said, but let us pray that, you know, God will reveal to whoever it is by whatever means what they need to know. You know, give them a vision, dream, whatever. God will reveal that. I believe that was already an interpretation of all their praying in other tongues that they were doing that night. And so they then ended up praying that, and then they had enough peace and went to bed. So now they prayed in understanding that God give them. And I believe that was already an interpretation of their praying tongues, that pray that this person will get a revelation of what's about to befall them. So they prayed that and they went to bed and said, yeah, I think that's it, we go to bed. So they slept. And the next morning, well, of course, they will hear that later. This gentleman, about that time when they prayed that and they went to bed, about 4 a.m. in the morning, this guy who was a member of their church had a dream. And he had a dream that he worked for an oil company, that he went to work that morning, and he got there. They told him, the person who operates that machine has called in sick, is not coming in. You please go and operate the machine. So he went up to operate the machine, and as he did, 10 minutes later, one of the straps or whatever on the machine snapped, and one of the parts of the machine just went flung and cut his head off. He said, so, I mean, the guy had that dream about that time. And then he slept off again, then woke up in the morning, went to work. Then he got to work, and his supervisor called him and said, come. So-and-so called in sick. He said, could you please go up and operate that machine? So the guy went to the Goodman's church. I mean, he mentioned the church names, you know, and all that. He said, then the guy was about to go, then he stopped. Said no. So he turned his head, no, I'm not doing it. And his supervisor said, why are you not doing it? He said, I'll tell you why. He said, 4 a.m. this morning, I had a dream. I had a dream that this guy didn't come to work. You told me to go and operate that machine. I went up to operate the machine. 10 minutes after I started operating the machine, the thing caught and the blade cut my head off. He said, so I'm not going to do it. And as he said that, another Christian who was there went to another church. Said, I'll do it. I don't believe in all of that. I'll do it. And then that one went up, climbed the machine, started to operate the machine. 10 minutes later, the thing caught. The blade cut off his head and flung the head against the back of this other guy. True story. Are you with me? Why? Some people prayed. Are you hearing me? And they prayed for hours and hours, almost through the night, praying and praying and praying. I'm saying even the ability to stay in a place of prayer, you can't do it. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that. It says in verse 18, praying always. Can I hear you say always? Right now, that's my emphasis on number one. Praying what? Always. Can I hear you say always? What does always mean to you? So, this can't be done. He said, praying always. You know, with all prayer and supplication. One says with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The ERV version says, pray in the Spirit at all times. Pray in the Spirit at all times. I told you I was driving home one day. I was driving home where, and as I drove, you know, and I was getting close. I entered the estate. I was getting close to the house. Then I was praying as usual. Then I heard God speak to me as I was praying, just praying other tongues. And he says, your landlord will come and meet you now when you get home. And he's going to attack you. We had given a deadline that we're moving. And we had missed that deadline, which I'd apologized. I told him everything and explained things to him. And he said he's going to come. So, totally unexpected. He said he's going to come and meet you now and he's going to attack you. You know, and all of that. And I just began to pray. You know, and I was just praying. I said, well, God, if that's it, then you'll have to help me. You know, help me to handle the situation right. You know, and I drove in, opened the gate, drove into the house, locked the gate. And as I went back to the car to carry what I had with me, and I was locking the door, he came out of his house. And he was like, you! I thought, what's the problem? He pushed, you're a liar! I said, liar! You know, and I said, stop pushing me! You know, and I got angry and upset. You know, and I was like, stop pushing me, you know. And he said, no, you're a liar. I'll push you. I said, if you push me again, I will make sure you end up in jail. I'm sure you can't imagine me, Abby. You're trying to imagine that. Did he really do that? How did he do it? How did he say? I was really fuming. You know, so we had a few exchanges. I wasn't rude. I didn't insult him. He did all sorts. He cursed me. I said, what are you? I said, you are the liar. I said, because you told me something else before. You said you had even granted out the place, and yet some people are still coming to inspect. I said, so you are the liar. I'm not a liar. You are a liar, you know. And you are here attacking me over what I explained everything to you about. I said, why would you come, you know. And then he went on and on. I said, so eventually, I walked away. But I still thought the exchange was too heated. You know, so I went away, I called his agent and said, this just happened now. Are you the one advising this man this way? And the guy said, what? That he told him, don't go to that man at all. He's a very good person. In fact, I've been there. The way he even allows us to come and inspect, and the way the place has been used, don't go to him. Just leave him alone. In fact, I've even seen that he has started packing things out. So I know that he's not trying to play you. I know that he's moving. I've seen the signs. I've seen the things emptying out. But he has explained that there are some delays, but he's moving. I know he's moving. I've seen the signs there. He says, so I'm shocked that he came to you at all after all of my admonition. So, but then I then started asking, I said, God, why did I get worked up? God said, I wanted you to get worked up. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I wanted you to get worked up and be able to answer him sternly. He said, because you're about to travel. And when you do, he was going to come to your wife. He said, so I wanted you to be stern. I wanted you to answer him that way. He will not come back to you again. And that's exactly what happened. Are you with me? I'm talking about the value. He said, pray in tongues, what? Pray in the spirit at all times. You won't know, I think I told you a story the other time. I went and I vexed in the hotel. And my friend said, yeah, you vexed. I've never seen that before in all the years I've known you, and I missed it. Are you with me? So it's unusual. Hallelujah. Okay, so number one, he says pray in the spirit. So Paul knew that if I'm going to develop stamina in the place of prayer and be able to fellowship with God for lengthy periods of time, I'll have to be what? Praying in the spirit. I have to develop that invaluable habit of praying in other tongues. Hallelujah. Number two, what would Paul know, or why should we develop this habit? So I'm not just talking about praying and praying in the spirit. I'm talking about you developing this, cultivating it. So at some point, I decided that I was going to be praying in the spirit at all times. I decided if the Bible says it, then it's possible. And it must be beneficial. So I started praying in tongues at all times. If I remember years ago, again, when the university, I was going out with my friend. A driver was driving. He was seated. I was seated at the back. And somebody flagged him down on the road. And the guy commented and said, you know, I mean, that was Israel. And he said, I didn't see you, actually. He said, what I saw was the person at the back praying. He said, and that struck me, that somebody was praying like that. He said, you don't see that. That people are just praying as they go. He said, what struck me was I looked at the car, and I saw this person, and I knew the person was praying. Because I was just praying in tongues at the back there. Of course, he didn't even know sitting in front that I was praying in tongues. We're all there, we'll talk, we'll say a few. But I was praying. He said, so I saw the person. I said, oh, this person is praying. He said, that's when I saw you sitting in front. What I'm saying is that it was a deliberate, an intentional thing to say, I'm going to be like this. Are you hearing me? Listen, no habit is automatic. No habit. Whatever the habit is, I smoke, I do whatever, none of it is automatic. You cultivated them. Are you still there? So some guy was there talking to his friend when university, and he said, this cigarette thing, the thing, don't hook me. He said, I want to stop, I can't stop. He said, and when we started, I was just doing guy. But the guy he was doing was what? He was cultivating. He was doing guy, but he was cultivating a habit. And as he cultivated the habit, then he became a habit and he hooked him. Are you with me? So it means that I can develop or cultivate any habit at all. Let me give you one more and then I can stop and maybe continue the next time. Number two, why should I develop this invaluable habit? Because it edifies. It edifies. Can I hear you say it edifies? Go to 1 Corinthians 14 again. 1 Corinthians 14. You know, we have our low moments. One of the things I've said to myself, I'm pretty close, is I want to live in such a way that I have zero low moments. What do I mean by zero? It means that you can tell me the worst thing possible, and it doesn't shake me, it doesn't move me, I remain as I am. People think, is that even possible? Absolutely. It means that I can hear any news and it won't move me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Aretha Egan told Brother Egan and said, you know, you don't even worry about anything. He said, even if me and the children drop dead now, you won't even be worried. He said, what's the use of worrying then? You'll be dead already. So, why worry when you have already died? Are you hearing me? I'm talking about being in that state where you are not bothered. One of the shocks for the disciples when they were in the storm was that they went to the boat and Jesus was not just there doing nothing. He was sleeping. Are you hearing me? You know the story I'm talking about. So that I don't just totally assume that everybody's a stay light. You know the story I'm talking about. Wave at me if you know the story I'm talking about. Okay, so when they went there, they met him sleeping. Because again, when you read it in your Bible, They were not nice to Jesus. Okay? When they spoke, they looked at him and said, Master, carest not thou that we perish? Don't you even care? What kind of person are you? You don't even care that we're perishing. Ah? It's you we are following now. So they were angry. They rebuked him. They were not saying it nicely. They were not asking a question. Master, are you not even worried? Are you not even worried that this storm is there? And he said, you don't even care about somebody. Are you getting what I'm saying? What was annoying them? That they were shaking. That this storm, and a guy is sleeping. I think, how can you even sleep? That you have not said anything is bad enough, then you are sleeping. Are you getting what I'm saying? But you can sleep in the things that make other people tremble. You can sleep through it. Are you with me? So I'm talking about, I think Pastor Nwai was saying something about that recently. About what? I think, or you wrote it, internal environment. Huh? Can I hear you say internal environment? What is inside you? How strong are you on the inside? Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and verse 4, before I say that, did you know, I think Proverbs 24 verse 10 says what? If you faint in the day of adversity, he said, your strength is small. Huh? You know what that means? It means you are only going to know your strength when adversity comes, when challenges come. Okay? Number two, it means that when you shake and you are afraid and you are just tired, I'm not tired of everything. Huh? It's not the size of the problem that determines your tiredness or your faintness. It is the smallness, the littleness of the strength within you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? That it's not the size of the challenge that you are facing. If anybody who faces the kind of thing I face it too, will just be crying. It's not true. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not true. Some people will face that kind of thing three times more and they will not be shaking, they'll be laughing. Why? Because their strength is different. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How do I develop that strength? I need to develop that invaluable habit of praying in other tongues. Look at verse 4. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4. It said, he who speaks in a tongue does what? Edifies himself. That's all I want you to see. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. And the key thing is to look and underline the word edifies. Can I hear you say edifies? The word edifies means charge. The best way to describe it is to charge. And I always say I'm happy that we're in the 21st century because there are all kinds of things that we charge around us. So it's easy to explain this word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it's like charging your heart, charging your spirit like you charge the battery of your phone. He said the person that prays in other tongue charges himself. You are charging yourself like the phone. You know, for the longest time, I mean, we're all creatures of habits. I have all kinds of habits. One of my habits is how I iron my clothes. So when I iron front of a shirt, turn the back, and then I'm trying to fold it, I always fold from the left. I think I was telling somebody that I fold the left side first and then the right side. And one day, I was trying to fold the right side, and I stopped. It's wrong. You fold. Then I stopped again, and I said, what's wrong with you? There's nothing wrong with folding whatever side first. It's just that this is how I've always done it. So I have a habit of also how I deal with the phone. You know, it's almost always charged, except the phone doesn't have a good battery or something. Almost always, I just want it charged. So, sometime, I was using the phone, and then I tried to put on camera and it didn't work. I tried to play music, it didn't work. And I was like, oh my God, this phone. Oh my God, I hope this phone is not spoiled now. I hope I don't need to start looking for money and to buy another phone. You know, I was just like, oh my God, oh my God. And then I charged the phone and everything was working. And then I checked and realized that, oh, when the battery reaches a certain level, in order to keep it available for critical function like calling and receiving calls, it stops all of these other functions that it considers to be not as important. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when your battery is not properly charged, there are some functions that don't work. Are you with me? Some you just won't work, you understand? So there are certain things that just you can't do. They just don't work. They don't work well because your battery is low. Are you still there? How do I charge my battery? The Bible says that he that prays in other tongues charges himself, edifies himself. So imagine yourself that when you are praying in other tongues, you have just brought out the cord. Unplugged. And as you are praying in other tongues, the battery is going up. 10%, 15%, 20%. Then, you know, then some will say what? It will tell you 15 minutes till full. Meaning that you need to do this tongue thing for 15 minutes. And then when you finish 15 minutes, you'll be doing like this. Where's the devil? Hallelujah. Just one more scripture. Jude chapter 3, verse 20. Have you found it? Have you found it? Some people were cheating because you are using an electronic Bible. Others would have flipped. Then you flip back. You say, Revelation, my way. Then you go back again. Say, where is my chapter 2 and chapter 3? Who stole it? So he has only one chapter. Okay, so if you are online and you are still searching, one chapter. Okay, so Jude chapter 1. Okay, we're looking at verse 20. It says, but you beloved, building up. Can I hear you say building up? Yourselves, or building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, this also now uses a terminology that sounds like when you are building a house, isn't it? So it says, you, brethren, building yourselves up. Building yourselves up. So one brick on another layer of brick, another layer. It says, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. So it builds you up. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. The Amplified is always a sweet one. And the Amplified says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. He said, make progress. Rise like an edifice. Higher and higher. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Make progress. Rise like an edifice. Higher and higher as you pray in the Holy Ghost. So as you are praying in the Holy Ghost, you are becoming taller. Smith Wigglesworth was speaking. And he said, I am 10 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. He said, I built myself up. I grow like an edifice. Higher and higher. He said, so I'm 10 times bigger on the inside than what you are seeing on the outside. Let's stand on our feet. And as you do, just pray in other tongues for a little bit, not taking any time. The teaching service, God's purpose tonight is teaching. I'll complete it the next time. I will speak more again about the invaluable habit of praying in other tongues. The invaluable habit of praying in other tongues. Leged Oshta Brahanda. The intention is that you make that a focus this year. I will develop the habit. We'll talk about again more reasons, more benefits the next time. You know, why? What does it do? Why should I bother with it? When you say invaluable, it means that we can't even totally explain all of the benefits. The benefits are so immense. They go way beyond description. And I believe I say it for some person's benefit. But next time, whenever that is, the next time, but of course on a Thursday, the first reason I will give is because God commanded it to be so. God commanded it. God planned it that we speak in other tongues. And that's to deal with somebody's religion. Of is it for today? Is it for our time? We'll deal with that. Okay? And I felt I needed to say that for somebody's benefit. That's where we'll start from. Why should I do it? Because God planned it to be so. Because that's God's will. Oh, but they told me that it's not for today. They told you wrong. I will correct that wrong. Legedosta brakedes de frekida brados sefele gadista bahande. Le boso prediste fekuda barende kelede parade sotoga. Yagala bahande korosta brakista. I mean, I've changed completely. My life's changed completely. Tongues changed my life. Legedosta brahande revolutionized my prayer life. Revolutionized my life as a whole. Rakedosta brahande sike le bahasto brokondo sufele gadista. I mean, when you tell stories, it's just the one that the Holy Ghost brings to you at that moment. But there are tons of stories and examples. Legedosta, Brandos of Fredista, Brekelede, Sopradista, Ali Bobo 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 Shekere Bahasta Brahande, Zege, Zege, Zobale, Desto Brahande, Rabah.